Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 263 of Nerd Pride Radio. 263 in the Ferengi Rules of Acquisition, rule 263, never allow doubt to tarnish your lust for latinum. Which, I still never understood the Ferengi in Star Trek. I mean, I get that they wanted to have a society that, you know, still relied on money, and that these were the greedy merchants, and that, you know, things could be motivated by money. But, you know, in a world of the technology that they had in Star Trek, when you could have a replicator just make you anything you want, what's the purpose of lusting for money? I mean, what, are we just too selfish to give them replicators? Like, as much as they love pressed latinum, they could just make it, right? Maybe that's just me. All right, anyway, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on. Ask me. I am awesome. By the way, there's three people in this room with me. None of them asked me. Can you believe that? I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones.
How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you, Lisa. I'm a Pathfinder / D&D nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus.
How are you?
Well, thank you, Noah. I am awesome. Plus, there's probably like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. As always, we're recording live from our Nerd Pride studios in the cupboard under the stairs. All right. Straight in the meticulously plotted boards of the podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever interesting things I've stumbled across in the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. First up, and this is going to be a quick episode, I don't have a whole lot going on, and just wanted to stop in and share. So here we are with the Science Corner.
Oh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And that music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. Oh my God, we got pictures of black holes this week. How cool is that? I am so excited about these. The idea that we have actual photos, actual, like we've always, you know, when they were first proposed, when they first developed out of Einstein's theories, it seemed a little ludicrous at first, but then, you know, the more it kind of caught hold in cultural consciousness, the more we realized, holy crap, this actually makes a lot of sense. And we've been operating for the last several decades as if black holes are real, because, well, they really kind of have to be at this point. I mean, the math is there and it just makes sense. And if black holes don't exist, then we don't know what the hell is there. And now it turns out that no, we can actually image it and it looks exactly the way, the math predicted it. And so therefore, woohoo, we have evidence. That is so cool. And, just if you haven't seen it yet, you should look up pictures of the team that did the imaging. And specifically, there's a woman researcher, her name is Katie Bauman, B-O-U-M-A-N. And Katie Bauman was the lead of the team who put together the algorithm that made this happen. So, there's one picture of her, with her arms spread wide to encompass the like 5 petabytes worth of information that was required to do the processing for this, all this data that was being fed into this algorithm to get the image that they wanted. But the picture of her that I find, this is something that my son Jacob shared with me, the picture of her that I find just absolutely beautiful is they captured a shot of her at the moment that the actual image finally appeared on screen. And ooh, people are responding. And this picture is just the happiest human being you've ever seen in your life. She's just so tickled, so thrilled that all of this work has finally come together. And this is the moment. And as Jacob said, he's like, wow, you know what? My dream is to someday find a woman who will look at me the way this woman looks at that black hole, because that is amazing. So it was really, really touching to imagine all the work that went into this. And then here we get to share this little moment where it finally pays off for her. I think that is super cool. So anyway, and that was it for the Science Corner. Next up is my science fiction double feature. Science fiction double feature. That's right. Here at Nerd Pride Radio, you get not one, but 2 movie reviews for the same low, low price. So the 2 movies I'm going to review, one is quite old and one is quite new. The old one is A Quiet Place. And my wife had seen this in the theater with a friend when it first came out and told me how wonderful it was and how I absolutely had to go. Or maybe was it with a friend, or was it with Aiden, or was it both? I can't remember. 2 friends. There you go. Oh, she has 2 friends. I could bring 2 friends. So anyway, that is horrible, and I should not even have made that quote. That's terrible. She had seen it and told me it was wonderful, that I had to watch it, and I never got around to it. And then just last week, she was out of town for an autism conference, and so while she was gone, I happened to spot it on Amazon Prime or whatever, and I'm like, oh, well, hey, as long as it's free, sure, let's jump on in. And I don't know what I was expecting, but it was even better than that. This, A Quiet Place, if you haven't seen it yet, was just such a good movie. So well put together. The idea that, I mean, you want to talk about show, don't tell. The idea that this movie gave us as much emotion as it did in a horror movie. I mean, and it was a legitimately scary horror movie. There was moments of pure terror in there. And yet also this family bonding, this pure emotion, it made you feel a lot of things. And it did it all with, I mean, what were there, maybe 30 lines of dialogue in the entire film, and 2/3 of those were in sign language. So, I mean, this was really effective. And the use of silence in the movie was unreal. I am so in love with this film. What a wonderful treat that was. So, if you've already seen A Quiet Place, and I assume most of you have, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you haven't, oh, treat yourself. Seriously, this is worth it. Totally worth your time. It was beautiful. Really, really good. But then the second movie, and we just saw it this weekend, was Shazam. There we go. That's pretty good. Because Shazam, ask me how much I love Shazam. I love Shazam. Oh my God, this movie was so much fun. Eli, did you want to share? Because Eli was actually there too. So
the thing about Shazam is that pretty much the thing about it is that they're like, okay, we messed up with Justice League. How do we fix that?
That's exactly right. And they started fixing their grim, dark Justice League issues with Aquaman, which was a lot of fun. But Aquaman was really, Aquaman could have been any Marvel movie. I mean, I loved it, had a great time. I've already reviewed that on here. But you know, it was a pretty standard superhero movie. Whereas Shazam, we're just gonna keep going. Shazam, it. This movie was, I can't even go forward now because I'm so worried I'm going to say it again. This movie was just a joy. It really was. It was heartwarming and uplifting. And by the way, dark in places. I mean, you want some of that DC darkness? Oh, they did not shy away from that. And it was there was some really grim, awful, terrible things that happened to people. And yet, at the heart of it, you know, this is Billy Batson, some ordinary kid who gets to become Shazam. So this is...
I really enjoyed Shazam a lot.
You're just here to say the word, aren't you?
Yes. Shazam.
So, they did it really, really well. It was a very unique style of humor for this one because, I mean, all that silliness that you see in the ads for it in the trailers, yeah, all that silliness was there and then some. I mean, they really played that up, and I thought that was awesome. But more than that, there was a heart to it, and there was a real storyline, and it was different than your typical hero origin stories. So I enjoyed it a lot. I don't know where they go from here.
And at the end, you can hear a bunch of comic book nerds argue over whether Captain Marvel and Shazam.
Oh yeah. Oh well, but oh, you're gonna do it to yourself.
Same people person.
Oh yeah, because I mean, yes, Captain Marvel and Shazam are the same hero, technically, but the argument was over two different continuities. And in this Captain Marvel continuity, here's some of these things that happened in the movie, but then in the Shazam continuity, here's all these other things from the movie. And it's like, you know what? I'm just having a good time at a movie. It's really, and by the way, the comic book nerds doing the arguing were my son Aiden and his friend Peter. So it's not like I didn't know them. But it was just, you know what? Had a great time. Had a great time. So if you can, while it's still in theaters, you should go see Shazam. It is worth your time. Did that make you happy? That made her very happy. So anyway, and then that's it. That's really all I have for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. So you know what that means? That means it's time for the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog, this is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2, that was him, in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up, and by the way, pimped out just means that I cracked it open and I just threw some percentile dice in there so I can roll numbers from 1 to 100. That's what pimped out means, and then I stripped away all the cardboard from the original game. I should have it painted up with racing stripes and stuff, but A, I'm lazy, and B, I'm afraid of really ruining it, because if it looks like crap, although, how could it look bad? I mean, seriously, it's R2 with percentile dice. It couldn't. Anyway, beside the point, I was actually reading a script here. So where did I leave off? Oh, fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble. And he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do those topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in, good listener. You want to hear me haver on about something? Send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. And I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And our first number is number 606. Let's see what we get. I was going to say, I know I had the list pulled up. I was ready this time. It's from Walrus. Hey, Walrus. Walrus says, Lisa, you'll be interested in this question. Walrus asks, this smells strange. Should I eat it?
No.
Yeah, no. I don't know if you could hear her.
No,
Mimi. No, it was Gran-Gran.
Oh, Gran-Gran.
No, don't eat it. Don't know. This, before she passed on, this is a 3-4 years before she passed on. More than that, we went to Florida.
When Aiden was 5 months old.
Yeah, Aiden was just a baby.
20 years ago.
And so we went to Florida with my mom and dad, my brother's family, and then my grandmother, Gran-Gran, came along with us. And there was one point we had shrimp for dinner one night. And then later in the week, there is still shrimp left over in the fridge. And she pulls it out and she goes to my mother. She has smelled the shrimp. And now she says, honey, I think this shrimp smells bad. Does it smell funny to you? And my mom says, yeah, it smells like it might be a little off. And then my grandmother proceeds to eat it because, well, it's going to go real bad soon, so we want to get rid of it now. Before shrimp, seafood. And she just digs in. And then not only did she have some herself, but then got mad at everyone else for not helping her finish it because it's going to go bad. And ultimately, shrimp got thrown away. It was a waste of shrimp. So I guess that's what happens when you grow up during the Depression, I suppose. So anyway, the real answer is no. If it smells funny, don't eat it. Why would you risk that? We live in a world of, well, we don't live in a world of plenty. We live in a nation of plenty. You too. Canada counts. So if the food has gone bad, no, don't eat it. It's not worth making yourself sick over. So 68 is from, now strangely, by the way, speaking of numbers, this week's episode number 263, I don't know if you guys remember, all the way back to last week where 262 was our episode number, and the nerd fact for episode 262 was 262 is the lowest integer that doesn't have its own Wikipedia page, according to Wikipedia. And yet, 263 has its own Wikipedia page. And 263, there is nothing special about it. Like, literally, the page gives its list of here's the various number categories that it falls into. It's an odd number that falls between 263 and 264, blah, 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 blah. The only difference between 262 and 263 is 263 is a prime number, and somehow that gives it special status to get its own Wikipedia page? I don't get it. Weird to me. Anyway, I had rolled number 68, so back on topic. This one's from Jacob. Hey, Jacob. And Jake says, you can go into the past and meet your younger self, but you can only speak in charades. What do you try to communicate, and with what kinds of gestures? Okay. No, my wife is over there miming. No, don't marry that woman. And by the way, her miming was really good. But, no, she's crazy. Which would seem to lend credence to the don't marry her theory, but no, she's wrong in this case. Alright, if I could go back and meet my younger self, I mean, I know this violates the spirit of your question, Jacob, but in all honesty, I wouldn't say a damn thing because I don't remember ever meeting some crazy man who showed up and would only speak in these frantic gestures because he clearly had something super important to communicate to me. And so since I don't remember it happening, that means that if I do it now or then, as it were, time travel, then I would be changing the past and thus, butterfly effect, none of my future life happens. I don't necessarily wind up ever meeting Lisa, and if I do meet her, maybe I don't get married to her. Certainly my life never gets to the point where I have these four amazing children that I have. Worst of all, I would never wind up developing Godball. That would be the worst part of it. God, can you imagine a world without God? Wow, she looks really offended. I said I'd still want to marry you. Do you not? Isn't that enough for you? So anyway, that was the reaction I wanted. Ultimately, I wouldn't do it. But if I did, my charades, as always with time travel, my charades would be to communicate a specific date and a specific set of lottery numbers. I mean, this is the most productive use of time travel if your goal is to just make money, which, you know, anything else. I've seen all the movies and anything else that you try and do with time travel is just going to cause you heartache. You're just going to screw things up. Nothing is ever going to pan out the way you want. Like, watch Ashton Kutcher and The Butterfly Effect. Nothing will work out. But if I can communicate that, like, literally last week's lottery, and just say, hey, here's the date, here's the number to play, just remember that. Then that way... Well, even that, though, God, even that butterfly effect, it's still going to screw things up. I'm not going to wind up with the same sort of life. And ultimately, if my life is different enough, then that maybe even changes all the lottery numbers, too. Oh, God, is the butterfly effect that good? I don't know. All right, see, now you've scared me. I don't want to mess with it at all. It's just going to wind up hurting me. 21. 21 is... Oh, there we go. I figured out how to work a mouse. I'm very proud of myself. 21 is from Ronster. And Ronster asks, assuming you have a strong sense of fair play, I think I do, what would it take in a game to make you cheat to win? Would you cheat if playing against your own brother? All right. Normally, for me to cheat to win, at this point in my life, winning a game is not that important. And if it was a life or death sort of thing, if someone was going to get hurt, if cheating in some way helped avoid some kind of horrible disaster or confrontation that was going to cause a bunch of hurt feelings, I might do that because it's just a game. It's not like it's that big a deal. It's certainly certainly acceptable to compromise the integrity of that game in order to protect somebody or spare somebody's feelings or whatever. I'm okay with that. Would I do it for money? Ugh. I'd like to say no, but it depends on what kind of game and what kind of money and what kind of... Look, I've already said I'm willing to time travel to learn lottery numbers, so clearly I'm willing to cheat at that game. So, maybe, but I can't even imagine how much money would make a difference. So, I have no idea. Now, would I cheat against playing against my own brother? If it was really funny, yeah, it certainly would. So, okay, there's my other exception is, if it's against my brother and it's super funny, oh, yeah, totally. But in general, cheating's no point in it. And also, cheating is really not that funny. It would have to be a really unique situation. So, there you go. Number 10. And 10 is, there it is. It's from Ronster again. And Ron says, has anyone ever confused your use of the term RPG with that of a rocket-propelled grenade? And if so, how did you handle the situation? No? I can't... RPG, like the worst I get is because video games have stolen RPG as a term, and we're using it as a term even before there was any real role-playing in video games at all, but they were still calling things RPGs anyway because it had a story, even though you weren't really playing in it. Yeah, it was cheating and unfair. So that confusion is there, the difference between tabletop role-playing games, which we now have to call tabletop role-playing games to distinguish them from video game role-playing games, which aren't real role-playing games, dork. No, I have never had it confused for a rocket-propelled grenade. A repeating phase gun? Maybe. Hold on. There you go. According to Google, research post-grad? A retro penis grab? I got nothing. That's it. 78 is from... Oh, darn it. I don't know. There it is. 78 is also from Ronster. All right. We'll do one more after this. What fast food that you love really wrecks your stomach? Fast food? Not fast food so much, fast casual. It's gotten to where chips and salsa... Too much salsa will get to me. It gives me acid reflux. I wake up in the middle of the night with acid coming up, and it's horrifying. Lisa says Burger King onion rings. So I can see that. Most fast food, I can handle it, but I don't really, my problem with Burger King, if I go to Burger King now, it's because I want the rodeo burger. I want the rodeo burger and a large onion ring, and that is just, it's like 2,000 calories in a single sitting, 2,100 calories, something like that. It is freaky huge. It is probably the largest single meal I will ever eat anymore. And it is so much food, but it's so good. Oh, I love the Rodeo King. Oh, that's so good. Oh, man, I want one right now, and I know I can't. So, anyway, that's about it, though. Like I say, I have a real problem with salsa anymore. But other than that, nah, most stuff I can handle. Yeah, for the most part. 47, and this one will be the last one. And 47 comes from... There it is. It's from Kyle. And it's blank. Gosh darn it. Kyle, how did I have a blank one here? That stinks. All right. Well, you know what? We'll do one more. There we go. Number 12. I'm sure this one will have one on it. 12 comes from... It's from... Oh, from my friend Charlotte. And Charlotte says... Oh, it's a bedwetter behead. Bedwetter behead. Carol Channing, Carol Burnett, Carol Kane. This is an excellent question. Let's see. Two are dead. Carol Burnett's still alive, isn't she? I think she is. So, yes. Well, and Carol Channing, even if she weren't dead, I am not a huge fan of Carol Channing. I've just never been that much into her stuff. I've only ever... Carol Burnett did? Channing. Oh, Channing. Yeah, just not a huge Carol Channing fan. So I've only ever known her as old Carol Channing, so therefore I'm not... Carol Burnett and Carol Kane. So... Let's go ahead and say behead Carol Channing. So we'll get rid of her. And then that leaves me Carol Burnett and Carol Kane. And I am going to say marry Carol Burnett and bed Carol Kane. That just seems like that. I've always loved Carol Burnett since the time I was a little kid, ever since watching the Carol Burnett show. And I've always felt she was smart and funny and just, I don't know, something about her. She just seemed like one of the coolest adults alive. And so therefore, yeah, definitely marry Carol Burnett. So there you go. That'll do it. And then that is the end of the Podomatic. So I'm going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she'll give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2019 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was, where is it? She Blinded Me with Science as performed by William Shatner. And Two Turntables, no, not Two Turntables, Science Fiction Double Feature by Me First and the Gimme Gimmies. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. Check them out, buy them, enjoy them. Wouldn't put them on my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, then subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use, and write me a nice review, because those reviews really make a difference. Well, you can write me any review, as long as you give me 5 stars. It's the 5 stars that make a difference. If you want to do something super nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. If you're enjoying it, you need to spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well, because word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on some social medias. You'll have to guess which one. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. You sign up there, bless you. You send me a message, we will hang out together and become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, most of the time, I go out to my forums and to Facebook and to my secret Gallium list, and I ask everybody, hey, I'm recording, what do you want me to talk about? And then I read it off at the end of the podcast, which is what I'm doing right now. And first up, let's go look at Facebook and see if there's anything there. Nope. Nothing on Facebook. That was easy. So, hold on. Let me say done. Done. Awesome. All right. Sweet. Now, let's go out to my forums. Man, this is going to be really easy. I got to the forums. This was a short episode, though, so they only had about 30 minutes to get in. So, yes, that is the reason. You shut up over there. Okay. Nothing on my forums. But no, I'm sure the secret Gallium list has all sorts of responses. So therefore, hold on. Done. Okay. This is your last chance, guys. See what you got for me. Go out to my messages. And here we go. All right. I've got responses from Sarah Beth. And let's see. Oh, hey. Eli, question for you. It says, Eli, what are you most excited about for your first Gen Con?
Oh, no, I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. What got anything?
I don't know.
Oh, good try, Sarah.
I guess I get to go?
Yeah, he's just excited to be there at all. He's heard so many stories from his brothers that he honestly, as much as I keep describing to him and telling him about what's going to be there, it's just overwhelming because there is so much. So, yeah, anything. Yeah, he has no clue. And he's shy. So, let's see. And then Sarah Beth says, I'm taking Rosebud to the mall for Easter shoes. Maybe we'll have more when we get there. Okay, then the next one is from Dave. And Dave says, oh man, hooray! Again, same question. Eli, how excited are you about Gen Con? Just on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you?
Probably
a 10. Yeah, see, 10. So I'm getting a real response here. oh, wait, no, it's on a scale of 1 to holy beans, this is the best thing ever.
I'd give it a race car, really?
So, yeah, Noah says if he were going, he'd give it race car. So there you go. Then it says, Mike, why is Kyle pushing other people's games on Nerd Pride, but he hasn't even tried Godball yet? He can field an entire squad on his own, you know? All right, now, hold on. Not fair. He can't afford a set because, well, A, we're not selling them, and B, dude, he just lost a house. I mean, now he's got it back now, but geez, it's been a while. So give him a break. You know what? We'll rectify this. We'll take care of it. So, hey, Noah.
Yeah?
Noah, Dave wants to know what's a fun science fact that you have learned in the last few days?
I don't know.
Oh, man. If you could get your head out of that game for just a second. Come here.
I really don't have one.
All right, what do you got?
So the interesting science fact that I actually remembered that I learned is that birds are very easy to hit on a road, especially when they're grouping up and flying across it.
Seriously?
Yeah. Mom and I both know. We were driving down the road, and suddenly a bunch of birds were across it, and pretty much it's just like thunk, 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 thunk.
Oh, that's terrible.
And you can just see ahead of you that the other birds that have died from other people thunking them.
What was the flock of birds doing on the road?
Committing, I mean, maybe they're part of a suicide squawk.
Oh, is this some sort of suicide squawk? Yeah, that's funny. Wow, that is tragic. I cringe so bad when I hit just one animal on the road accidentally. When a bird winds up smacking against the windshield or whatever, I can't imagine multiple ones. That just sounds terrifying. Ugh, all right. Next up, also from Dave. Let's see. All right. He has a bedwetter behead. Interview edition. All right. James Lipton, Terry Gross, or Mark Maron? Let's see. I am going to marry Terry Gross. Because, I don't know. These are all spectacular interviewers. But I'll marry Mary Gross. That's fine. Terry Gross. Marry Terry Gross. There we go. Marry Terry. And that leaves me with Lipton and Mark Maron. Oh. That is, I'm guessing when it comes to the bed portion, I'm guessing Marc Maron would probably be better in bed. But I don't know. There's something just so creepy about him. This is a tough one for me. So, you know what? That's, forget it. Bed Marc Maron, and sorry, James Lipton, but you're going to have to go. I would have loved to, but I just can't. So, all right, next, Bedwetter Behead, Greek gods, Zeus, Poseidon, Hermes. All right, this is not so bad. Zeus, Poseidon, and Hermes. Zeus, Poseidon, and Hermes. I'm going to marry Poseidon. Not that any one of them are necessarily that much better than the others, but I think just on a marginal scale, I think Poseidon just kind of just edges out the other two as a long-term partner. And then I'm going to bed Zeus and hope that nothing horrible happens to me when Hera finds out. And then that just leaves me to behead Hermes, which, look, with working on God Ball, the amount of research I've done on the different gods, Hermes is just, I mean, all the gods are dicks. They're all bad, really bad, but Hermes is one of the worst ones. We're trying to find heroes that are connected to Hermes, and I mean, it's like, mostly it's his illegitimate sons and the women he's raped, and that's pretty much all of the mortals that are connected to him in any meaningful way. So Hermes is a terrible, terrible dude. Then bedwetter behead Greek goddesses, Athena, Hera, Aphrodite. All right, kill Hera, marry Athena, bed Aphrodite. I think that one was pretty obvious. All right. Bedwetter behead Greek gods, mixed doubles. Have Zeus and Hera together, Poseidon and Aphrodite together, Hermes and Athena together. Oh, darn. I was hoping you would have mixed them as I matched them up, but I don't get that. So, in this case, let me kill Zeus and Hera. I will bed Hermes and Athena. I can't marry, as much as I would love to marry Athena again, I can't because Hermes is still just a dick. So that leaves me to marry Poseidon and Aphrodite. So there you go. And then last question from Dave. How often do your kids practice their instruments? And for how long?
However long we're forced to.
And that is the answer I was going to give. Noah said, however long they are forced to. Which, in junior high now is, only about 25 minutes a week. It used to be a lot more than that. In elementary school, they were practicing multiple times a week. It was like 3 practices a week or sometimes 4 practices a week for 20 to 30 minutes at a shot. And now that he's in junior high, not so much. And once they get to high school, it's as much as they feel like, which is usually not at all. So there you go. They are not very serious about wanting to pursue music as a career or as a long-term thing. So, yeah, they're not great on the practices. All right, and then that... Oh, wait, hold on. More people have responded while I've been here. Let's see. Oh! Nope, that is not related to the podcast. So, I think we are all done. All right, you guys have been awesome. Thanks for joining me. Sorry it was a short one this week, but I still had a lot of fun. And I will see you guys next week. I love y'all. Bye.